Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's having these sort of little communities of people who read and talk and pass things together is all part of the positive attitude of friend of even of fandom. Because I feel like in such an online, we're all terminally online now. Everyone see like we're all together, but we're all separate, if you get what I mean. Feels like a lot of
Absolutely.
people are
Now more
like,
than ever.
yeah. So I feel like having these little insular communities, and especially making these little positive insular little communities, really can be a great way to further what I believe is the best thing about fandom, and it's about community. I mean, sure, it's great to have the art to share of and to have the emotions and everything connected with that. You get something doing that alone, that's perfect. But when you can take those passions and blend it together, it's kind of beautiful in a way. It's what I think, like when I think of like a perfect convention when I go to, it's one where people are generally there just to enjoy what they enjoy.
Hello, everyone. I am Eva Webb, and this is the Gals of Geekdom, episode 8, I think. And I'm here today with the lovely and talented Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Oh, I'm delightful.
Awesome. Crystal's here as well.
Hello, fans of the gals. How are you?
And this week, our guest is Ren Chandler. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty
Welcome
good.
back to the show, Ren.
I've been wanting to come back on for a while. I quite enjoyed the last few times I did this.
Awesome. Glad to have you back for another exciting episode.
So, what are we all reading this week?
Well, I just read the first volume of Larry Hama's G.I. Joe
Nice.
recently. I had never read it before. I was born in 1997, so my, that G.I. Joe's way before, like, it was way before my time, but it was surprisingly good. It had a lot of, there's a lot of, I'm surprised there was a lot of very dense and like sort of like a very in like the military details. It's sort of like a Tom Clancy novel with all like, oh, here's a, is it an MT, here's a mobile transport vehicle that sends out like, it had all those details. I found that really interesting. Also, it's very, I also like the action in it. Also, kind of like they focused a lot more on like strategy and like, the missions very much, and now that was sort of a surprising thing.
I've been hearing that it's really good. That run was really good.
Somebody else said that too recently. Somebody else was talking about G.I. Joe and mentioned that. Who was it that was talking about that? I don't even know. I just have heard that recently, so that's cool. Anybody else reading anything?
Yeah, I've continually been reading Gail Simone's Red Sonja. I know I mentioned that like several podcasts ago, and it's been taking me forever, but I'm a slow reader, and I've been reading the whole omnibus, whatever, of everything that she did on that run, and I love it. It took me like an issue or two to get like really, really into it, but like I love the blend of weird, dark comedy, sometimes a lot of gore, and just kind of like badass moments with a lot of good character dialogue.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. I really like Gail Simone's dialogue skills. She's really good with dialogue.
Yeah, there was like several, there was at least one panel, which doesn't happen to me a lot in comics. In comics, it's mostly if I get a laugh, it's just a little like chuckle to myself. But this one was almost a laugh out loud moment that I loved. I don't want to like try and explain it because it would ruin the sequence, but I just gotta say, she was able to do something that I hadn't been able to be done to me before. So,
Well, that's a good, it's always nice when comic books elicit emotions that like other media would elicit, you know, when you read, like, I've read comic books before and I've laughed out loud. I've read comics before and I've gotten angry, and I've read comics before and, like, straight up cried, you know?
Yeah.
I think with any good art form, it should touch you in some way emotionally. Well, maybe not in that way, but...
Sorry, I've been meaning to get into, like, starting to get into, like, the Conan the Barbarian comics from, like, you know, the Roy Thomas, Barry Windsor Smith, and then maybe, like, I know that Red Sonja was part of that, so hoping to read a little bit more on that character, including Gail Simone's run.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever interacted with anything Red Sonja before. I just knew Gail was on it, and I was like, well, this is a good start, you know?
I've been reading some things too. I don't know if you guys are interested.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've started Something's Killing the Children, Volume 1. And I think that might be my new favorite book. James Tynion. Is that how you pronounce it, Tynion? James Tynion the 4th. Such a good writer. I really like it. It's a horror series about a town that children keep turning up dead. And that's what the series is about, like, going and solving that mystery and what is doing the murders. What else have I been reading? Now I just blanked. I have Stargazer by Anthony Cleveland showed up the other day that I've been reading. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mad Cave Comics.
Vaguely.
Not particularly?
Just a lot of indie stuff. I know Dead Day finished up this week. That's an Aftershock series that I've been really digging on. Just a lot of indie stuff.
That's good. Gotta give those indie artists some love and support and all of that.
Yeah. Or all the indie comics that need support.
I'll say it. I've said it once and I'll say it multiple times. We're in, like, a new golden age of comics, pretty much. Just not with the big two. It's all indie stuff. The indie stuff is just blowing me away.
Yeah. There seems like there'd be a lot of new talent and writers coming through. Sorry, Eva, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I agree with Aaron 100%. I think the industry is changing, and the way the whole thing's going, the dominance of the big two is getting eroded away gradually by all these independents, Image, Dynamite, even companies like Aftershock and Ahoy. That's where the content is, I think.
I have a theory on this. Since I've talked about this quite a few times in a while, but I've come up with a theory, right? Personally, what I hate about DC and Marvel lately is there's, like, too much filler. There's so many issues where just, like, nothing happens. There's too much filler. And with these indie books, you know, they're cutting all of that out, you know. Every book that they release is just amazing, you know. Something happens, like, especially in, like, a 5-issue series, you know.
Yeah, that's always been kind of my problem with a lot of modern comics, is that they feel too slow, or they feel like they're sort of too much build up.
It feels like I'm reading a sitcom sometimes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you get, like, writers, like Jeff Johns is especially bad about this, where they go in and they write a story, and what you get from that story, the emotional depth of the story, the meaning of the story, what you get is that the writer was a really, really big fan of some other story. You know what I mean?
That's the killing, the Three Jokers. It just barely scratched the surface of anything, and people were, like, jerking it off as soon as it was announced.
Yeah, Three Jokers was terrible, and I stand by that.
I agree with you. It was horrible.
Eva, you actually didn't get to share your what you're reading, I don't think.
Okay, so I started reading Crossover, and that's about it. Normally, I read a lot more. I know, it's so good. normally, I read a lot more, but I've just had so much going on with all the other podcasting and
I launched a new website this week for titular characters, so I'm super excited about that. But I haven't actually read too many books this week, so I apologize.
That's no, it's. I mean, it's life, right? You don't have to apologize for anything, right?
It is life.
I'm having recently, like, last year I did the Goodreads challenge and I had 100 books and I got to 104. This year it's like November and I'm still at like 47. Really, it's just hard to read right now with everything that's going on and hard to focus, I find.
I find myself wanting to get high and just stare at the TV a lot more lately, because it's like everywhere I turn, like even in comic books, especially modern comics, they're obviously gonna like reference what's going on in the real world, you know. Mm-hmm. If they're coming out bimonthly, they'll reference what's in the real world. It's kind of really hard to escape what's happening like in real life.
Yeah,
true.
It's just a drain on my, like, psyche, you know?
I think the real problem with modern comics is that it's all got this SJW agenda crap shoved down our throats constantly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, damn SJWs. You know, what they need to do is just stop reading comics and just, like, pretend they know everything like we do. And
why
then,
can't
like,
we just go pretend that they don't read comics like we used to? You know, Eva.
Exactly. Or just, like, you know, scroll through a book and, you know, look at the pictures, because, like, that's all that's important and stuff, you know? And then we can get away with saying things like the X-Men were never political, because that makes sense, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay, Eva, I have to tell you about something.
Go for it.
So I was talking to this guy, and he was asking me, like, what kind of comics I'm into, right? Apparently, he was a big comic nerd, too. And he cited... Okay, this is my first red flag. He cited his favorite like writer currently is Geoff Johns, and then he went on to tell me that all indie books are the same. They all look the same, and they're all the same. And he said comics haven't been diverse since the 90s.
I'm so sorry.
So take that in. Just take that in. I'm not going to say anything else. Just take that in and let it sit.
You know,
like
that,
there are people out there.
That argument is very reminiscent to, if I don't know how you are aware with probably animation, but there's this weird subset of people who like to call the more modern style of art in television and specifically cartoon shows that it's the quote unquote Cal Arts style, as in it's all the same thing. And it's maddening to me because it's like these people don't know what they're talking about, like, whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's
and
sad.
You know where the Cal Art style came from? Do you know?
Who? I don't know the origin. I don't know.
It was John Crisfalusi, you know?
Oh, Predator.
Yeah, John Crisfalusi coined the whole Cal Art style, so, you know, that's...
So they're taking their advice from Sexual Predator. Got it.
That's fun.
I'm just saying that's who he is. I can't think of him without that label. He's no longer animator to me. That's all he is.
Yeah, he's always been like he's always been a dick. Like, you know, if you read about anything about the making of Ren and Stimpy, like he was like erratic. Everybody hated him, and then they took the show away from him after like I think the first season.
He got the show taken away from him because he couldn't meet deadlines.
Yeah,
he was shitty.
Yeah, and he was dating a 14-year-old, so, you know, that was a thing.
That a lot of people ignored.
Yeah, for years. He took her to parties and everything, just flaunted it. Everybody he was working with, everybody he was involved with knew what was going on, and nobody said anything. And then, as if that's not bad enough, you know, he breaks up with her, you know... And then he goes and does it again, like two or three other times. It's ridiculous. They enabled him.
Yeah. Ugh. This is a hard topic to cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back to comics, though. I just read that Texas Blood number one tonight with my book club. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Even for it having, like, a protagonist that is the town sheriff, it kind of takes a back seat. It's just kind of his job, you know, and like I explained, it's kind of a vessel for him to be capable, I think. But it's a really good series. Well, I'm not going to say it's a really good series. I've only read issue one, but I connected and related to a lot more in that book than I thought I was going to. So
that's good.
You guys should check out that Texas Blood. I believe they're on like issue 9 or something. Volume 1 comes out next month for trade paperback. So,
oh, that's good.
I think it's like $10. So be on the lookout for that. It's quality.
Texas Blood?
Cool. Yep.
Okay, that sounds interesting. An interesting title.
It's, I can't really tell you what it's about because I don't really know. The first issue, a lot of things happen, but, like, I can't really, it's a small town where a lot of bad things are happening, you know? Like, realistic bad things, like suicides and murders and, like, robberies and stuff, you know, in like a really, really small condensed town, like population 400, you know. It's an interesting, it's one of those, it's a horror book. So the main character's name is Joe Bob. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh. I was going to lead into something. I know, it's always awkward when there's these moments of awkwardness in between. any other comics-related thing, news that you're excited about that you've been hearing? Because I haven't seen it yet myself, and some sort of comic-adjacent thing that I actually kind of want to... talk about, or at least think, ask if you've seen it yet, is the Marvel 616 show on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it myself, but it's on the, you know, it's on my to watch list. But I was reading titles of episodes. I'm like, oh, this sounds really interesting.
One thing that I've been watching lately has been all the Chuds cry over the new Animaniacs.
Oh,
it's just beautiful. Have you guys seen that one yet?
I haven't
seen the show yet. It's on my list. I've got a lot of shows at once. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I've been meaning to see the new Animaniacs. It's just I have a lot of like you said, I have a lot of other shows to watch.
Right. Yeah, it's just we're living in a time when there's so much, like, quality content being released, whether it be on TV or streaming or whatnot. There's just so much of it. So, I mean, it's hard to, like, not be distracted with everything, you know? And I'm like, everyone's talking about Animaniacs, and I'm like, I really want to see this, but I just haven't, you know. If I jump around too much between shows, I don't finish the other show that I was watching before, you know?
I make it a point to, like, binge for, like, the whole thing, the whole season of a show in a weekend. So I'll start, like, Friday night, and usually I'm done somewhere in Sunday morning to Saturday night territory, Saturday night to Sunday morning territory. And here, it was really short.
How many episodes is it?
It's 13 episodes. My only real critique was that it's Pinky and the Brain up until this one episode in the middle where I'm not going to give away what happened, but it was hilarious. And then after that, they have other characters pop in, and they're all mostly new characters. There was this one about an alien who's like pocket-sized, and his spaceship crashes in a sandbox, and he gets trapped by this little girl who thinks he's a doll, and it's perfect, and it's beautiful, and it's hilarious. Also, all their political commentary is really on point. They dragged Tucker Carlson through the mud like 17 times throughout the course of the show, first subtly, and then they just dropped it all in like, I think it was either episode 8 or episode 9. Oh my god, I was on my ass. It was so funny.
I've seen like a lot of the pictures and stuff about that, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna make a lot of people really angry.
And then they had this other episode, and I couldn't tell if they were talking about gun control or birth control. It was really weird. It was about bunnies that overpopulate, and how, you know, we should all have a right to our bunnies, I guess. It was kind of confusing. It was supposed to be thinly veiled allegory to something, but it was just kind of muddled and silly. I think it was done specifically to piss off conservatives in more of sort of a broad general way than actually say anything. But it was a great show. It was a lot of fun.
That's good to hear. I've been hearing some positive things about it, so it's on my list for sure. Because I love animation in general, but yeah, that's another show I want. Because right now I've been trying to watch a bunch of like the really high quality or at least highly thought of recent animated shows that have all been like you know, instead of Animaniacs, which is more like skits and jokes, I've been watching a lot of the stuff that's more like Avatar: The Last Airbender. Currently watching Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beast, which is really good. It took like two episodes to get into it, but then it just kind of like keeps going and building in tension. So that's a great show. And then I did a poll on my Twitter. I don't know if you saw, and I was like, I'm ending my run on Kipo, and I want to see something cool and new that's awesome. And so I did a poll of a couple options, and the people chose the Owl House from Disney. So
A couple of friends have been recommending that to me. They say it's like has really good representation, or LGBTQ representation.
Yeah, that's another surprising thing. A lot of these animated shows for families have been having some interesting, you know, broader representation. I mean, from Steven Universe to She-Ra, and even Kipo has it, and you know, even more so in Owl House, from what I heard. You know, it's kind of good to see. You know, another thing of representation that I did see is, did you guys hear of the show The Big Sky on, I think it's on ABC?
I saw like a few trailers for that, like in passing.
It's kind of Twin Peaks inspired to a degree. I mean, it's a setting, in a mysterious setting of, you know, some people doing bad things in a small town that's in the middle of the woods sort of thing. Very kind of similar-ish. But the show is interesting because, not because of the show itself, but because one of the recurring characters is a non-binary person.
Oh.
Which is kind of, they said, I think they said that's the first recurring non-binary person, or at least actor on a TV show, or at least network TV show.
That's what's really interesting.
So, I mean, if nothing else, that's kind of neat.
So, Aaron, you've been kind of quiet, so I was wondering, what shows have you been on this week? What are you doing?
What shows?
Yeah, you said you've been doing a lot of shows this week.
I have my new Friday show on my Twitch channel with Miracle Man. We pretty much just talk about comics that are coming out this week, or like the week of, and just like weird things that we're reading and just whatever else. We have really good chemistry on, like, together, so we just go, you know. We're going to have some guests on that show pretty soon. I don't know when, but pretty soon. Saturday night, I was on, last night, I was on the Comic Burrito show for like 3 hours. That was nuts. And today, I'm with you guys, and I also hosted my book club earlier today as well, which is always fun, getting like 10 comic people together and talking about comics.
The book club is amazing. That's a really good project.
I try. If you guys want to join, just message me on Twitter, and I will invite you to the Discord.
You seem like a great. It seems like a great group of people. I just haven't had time to really participate, which I know. Bad host.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had the same problem, actually. I feel bad about it, because every time I pop in on the Twitter discussion for it, it always looks like you guys are having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always seems like a really good crowd of good, geeky people.
We have about 6 to 10 people every time that I host it. I've been trying to take turns presenting with other people, you know, like... 1 week I'll present, the next week somebody else will present. And what we've been doing is going by, like, we've been reading number ones of, like, lesser-known indie comics, and we've just been going by everybody's favorite. Everybody's been, like, picking their favorite number one, and that's the book for the week, you know? I know we first did Money Shot, and we, like, after reading Money Shot 1 with the club, I actually bought the trade, and I'm, like, really into Money Shot now.
Wow.
So that's what we try to do. It's like an incentive of stuff you haven't read to, like, just share with you. You know, maybe you'll go out and buy more of it. Maybe you won't. You know, it's a cool concept.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's having these sort of little communities of people who read and talk and pass things together is all part of the positive attitude of fandom. Because I feel like in such an online, we're all terminally online now. We're all together, but we're all separate, if you get what I mean. Feels like Absolutely. A lot of people are like...
Now more than ever.
Yeah. So I feel like having these little insular communities, and especially making these little positive insular little communities, really can be a great way to further what I believe is the best thing about fandom, and it's about community. I mean, it's great to have the art to share of and to have the emotions and everything connected with that. You get something doing that alone, that's perfect. But when you can take those passions and blend it together, it's kind of beautiful in a way. It's what I think, like, when I think of, like, a perfect convention when I go to, it's one where people are generally there just to enjoy what they enjoy.
You know, my idea of a perfect convention is take away all the crowds and just have, like, a group of, like, 10 to 12 people that I really like, and that would be, like, the perfect convention for me, you know?
Especially during COVID.
Yeah, especially during COVID. The crowds, the one thing I hate about going to con is the crowds. Like, I hate the crowds. I honestly hate it. And I, like most people, I get con flu. Because, you know, I'm packed in a big-ass room with all these, like, 20,000 people for 4 days. You're going to get sick. And after this whole pandemic, I don't even know if I'll ever feel safe going to cons again. You know, it's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
It's people. I've said this before. Wash your fucking hands.
And read Philadelphia. Come on.
But wash your hands. Wear a mask. Practice social distancing, please.
My state, a lot of warnings came out this morning for, like, because the COVID cases have just spiked up very high, and, like all the county governments are starting to impose harsher measures.
Yeah, I have a curfew here in California.
People are protesting that curfew. I saw that. I haven't been looking at too much news, because honestly, it's all the same shit recently, and it's just all negative. And I can't, you know, I can't spend my entire day being in that negative headspace. So I very rarely look at things, but I did see that people were protesting the curfew in California, the 10 p.m. curfew.
Yeah, it's 10 p.m. But I think I just got a message saying that they're going to start this Wednesday. They're going to close even more here.
Oh,
like, it's just going to be takeout and stuff. Hold on, let me see.
We're doing it here, too. We're actually going to go back into... Remember when we had, like, phases, red, yellow, green? We're going back into red, so... I'm fine. I got my hair cut. I'm stocked up on comics. Let's do this thing.
If we can get these numbers down, that'd be... I know this is a show about geekiness, but I think it is important to occasionally take the time out to at least acknowledge what's going on in the real world, and to say that, you know, please take care of other people and understand that this is very much real and it's not just a made-up conspiracy. I mean, You could think that way, but you're, you
70
know.
Million people do, so, like.
I would be shocked, I think, if anybody listening to our show really believed that.
I would too.
Because we're all pretty, I trust our fans.
We're all pretty far left, you know?
Yeah. If y'all on the right side of things and like, you don't believe in COVID, just stop listening right now and just fuck off.
Oh, watch us get a bunch of angry tweets for that one.
Well, yeah, I doubt it.
No, I mean, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Get more people listening.
I don't care. Like this happens on Twitch all the time when I'm streaming. Like, every now and then, some right-wing fucking troll will come in and be transphobic or, you know, Trumper or whatever, and I always just tell them to fuck off. Like, I don't have time.
Yeah, had one of those just the other night.
When was that? Oh, yeah, Miracle Man got all pissed. I remember that. He got mad. He got so mad, and I was like, calm down. It's okay. This happens. I mean, it's part of being trans, unfortunately. We're all going to deal with it, and it's exactly. Kind of something that I've gotten used to. You know, it just comes with the territory.
You just got to, like, not... You got to, like... push back to them, like, in terms of, like, the best way is if they go to that, they want to push your buttons, and the best way to do that is to just not let it. I'm not saying don't feel things, and it's okay to feel things, and it's normal, but what I mean is that I've found it, at least for myself, best to just kind of like saying you're boring, you know, because all they want is attention.
I don't give them a second, you know. I just block them. Like, I don't have time to sit there and use my positive energy and turn it into negative energy and fight with these people, because they're not going to change their mind. They're just going to dig their feet in. They want to see you mad. They want to see you start an argument, and they're going to dig their feet in, and, you know, they're not going to change. It's not how you change people. You don't fight them. So I just block them and tell them to fuck off. is that simple? Yeah. I don't stand for the bullshit.
I used to really engage with people like that, you know, just drill them into the ground, prove over and over and over again how much smarter I am than them, how their arguments don't make sense, all this fun stuff. And for one thing, it takes a toll emotionally and psychologically. And for another, what's actually being accomplished there? I mean, it's not like you've changed anyone's mind. I mean, other than, like, I think there's, like, two guys that follow me that get really turned on when I yell at, you know, TERFs and comic skaters and people like that. But other than that, it doesn't do anybody any good. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of bandwidth for the brain, you know?
I love Miracle Man. His Twitter feed is amazing. He will send me things. He'd be like, I just own this fucking transphobic chud. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
You know,
like, I know you're,
sometimes
I know
I'll chime
you're
in
ally.
On his threads.
It's okay.
He may have a good feed, but, you know, I'm better. Just follow me instead. No, I'm just...
I adore
him.
I'm
kidding.
He's so supportive
of
the trans.
I just think it isn't a contest, you know. Miracle Man, Mike, whatever the hell his name is amazing, and we all love him. But Crystal is also amazing, and I think if you have a choice, you should follow both of them, because they are beautiful people. Follow Crystal and Aaron and Mike and Ren up here, who is also amazing.
Yes, please follow.
No, follow Ren. You know what?
I love all of you.
Great Philadelphia. Look, I told Rodney Barnes, I told him, I was, we were talking, and I was like, look, I'm about to have a podcast, and I'm probably going to, since I was fangirling because he was talking to me, I'm like, I'm probably going to tell people to read Philadelphia a bunch during the podcast. So, look, I'm supporting his book, Read Philadelphia.
Support the artists that you feel deserve the most.
Writer and artist, letterer and collarer. Every name on that book is so important. Always read every single name on that book out. Always. It is very important.
While we're sending out recommendations of things to read, Crystal and I have both independently interviewed David Avalone, and he is so much fun. His YouTube channel is great. His comics are laugh out loud funny. The thing with the Betty Page Unbound, it's like metal for Betty Page, and it is so good. I got through like 5 issues of it a couple of weeks ago. Really enjoyed it. You got to check it out.
But seriously, if you haven't listened to either the episode that I did with David or the one that Eva has done, he is such an amazing guest. Just I wish when I was on with him that he might be listening. I don't know, but I wish that I'd ask a bit more about working with Cassandra Peterson, you know, who is Elvira, because that is incredible. Like she is incredible. She's like one of the best.
She's really neat, and she's a ton of fun on Twitter too if you follow her.
Oh yeah, totally. Just she is like, what is it? She's in, not to say anything, you know, obviously about age can be just the number, but she's in her 70s and still playing Elvira feels exactly the same, you know.
And not only is she playing Elvira, but oh my God, she's still so pretty.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, I half wonder if like maybe she's a real vampire or something, because oh my God, she is stunning. She doesn't look a day over 35, and that is ridiculous. I wish, or rather, I hope that I look that good at that age.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope I make it to that age.
You'll make it. We'll make it. And then we'll be really old, still doing this, still talking about comics.
You know what's really scary, being an old lady?
What?
It's just really freaky to me, thinking about being an old lady. It's just like, it's just something I really never thought about, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you don't really think too much of your, you know, like your life and where you're going and your age.
My life has completely derailed from what I thought it was going to be.
Same, girl.
Oh man, I could tell you the original plan and you would be like, that does not sound like you.
No, it's, yeah, I'd rather not dredge up certain things of the past either. There was something that I wanted to bring up just because it's kind of topical, but I mean, obviously, I don't know when this will be going up, but I think I've mentioned it before. I don't know if I've done it on the show, but are you all familiar with the old, what used to be the TV channel G4? Before that used to be Tech TV?
Yeah, they used to have X-Play. Woo!
Right. Did you guys, have you been seeing that the channel is officially coming back?
I heard. Yes. Even put in a application to work there.
Awesome. That's a great step. Yeah, they were. So I was when I was, let's say 2002-ish was when X Play started. It was Extended Play before that. So young, I was around 11-ish when I found out the channel, and it hit me at that perfect age where I was into gaming. And it was, as a young, not really understanding trans person, it was one of those things that I could go home from school and not feel so bad about myself when I put it on, you know? So to me, that the channel holds a lot of internal,
oh my God,
like, you know, ways of helping me and a lot of nostalgia.
Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb.
Yes,
that's Adam. Some nostalgic ass shit there. I used to only be able to get video game news from either the magazines or X-Play. Like, you watch magazines E3 on X-Play. I remember watching E3 every year on X-Play.
Same. And then Comic-Con on live when they did that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was the whole, it wasn't like the nerd channel, it was the channel. But
yeah, just, yeah. I wanted to bring it up because I don't know if you all saw that this Tuesday, which I don't know when we're posting this, but it'll be up, I'm sure, at some point, probably after it's up, but they're doing the G4 holiday reunion special. Did you see that?
No, but I just instant would.
Yeah, it's it's gonna be, you know, Adam Sessler, Morgan Webb, Olivia Munn, Kevin Pereira, at least, and then it's hosted by Ron Funches, who is a comedian. I don't know if you've heard of him. Yes, they're doing a full special for the holiday.
I'm blown away right now, because that's like instant nostalgia. That hits me. I want to cry right now. That hits me.
Same. If you go to the G4 TV Twitter account, the one that they used to have running, it's all their, by the way, all X-Play, G4, and Attack of the Show, all three Twitter accounts they used to have when they were on are all up and running again, making new posts. So if you go to any of those, you'll see retweets and trailers for the upcoming reunion event and the potential future of G4 as a whole, which we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but they are starting beautifully by doing the reunion special.
I would like to see the reunion. I don't know if I would like to see G4 come back. I don't think it has a place in our new internet age, you know, where everybody's talking about video games and nerd stuff all the time. Like any Tom, Dick, and Harry, everybody, even me, I'm doing it right now. Like even me, of all people, are talking about nerd stuff. I just don't think that G4 has a place anymore, you know?
It depends on how it's done.
I'm open to seeing what happens.
Ren, do you have any thoughts on this whole thing? I know it sounds like we've been talking over you.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's just I didn't even know G4 went off. I vaguely remember when I was like 10 or 11, I watched a tiny bit of it, and I haven't really followed since.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was definitely, for me, like I said, it was something that was very nostalgic to me, because it was geek shit on TV that I just hadn't seen before, you know.
Yeah.
Mr. Bugman says hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Has he eaten anyone's soul lately?
He's outside screaming at my dad's bedroom door. He's not allowed in here while I'm on my computer, because he's one of those cats that gets into everything. You know what I'm talking about? He gets into everything.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm talking about holding a lot of nostalgic value for you. I feel that way towards something that was revived recently. It was like right in my head, and then I couldn't think of it. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I think we're all a little tired, and sometimes those things sort of slip. You know what? It'll come up by the end. If it does, just shout it out.
Yeah, sure.
What was it? Do you know that Adam Sessler follows me on Twitter?
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, the day that happened was exciting for me, because it was just like, wait a minute, someone I used to watch every single day on TV is interested in what I have to say.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about something like that, because Miracle Man was on Aaron's show, and they were talking about all the comics people they know on Twitter, and Miracle Man was doing some pretty serious name dropping, and I'm like sitting there saying, oh, wow, yeah, I know that guy, I know that guy, I know that guy, I know that guy, because I guess we have a lot of friends in common.
I love it when he name drops. Oh,
it is so much fun. But I was just thinking, you know, I know a ton of comic book people on Twitter these days. I just, it doesn't sort of immediately register in my head that, you know, this person is that person, even though I know their name. It just doesn't click that, I don't know, maybe I'm slow or something.
It's because you're reading through the, you're seeing it through the avatar of the internet, where there's a disconnect. If you were literally talking to the person in front of you, that's different. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah, it's just, there's just a disconnect there. And that's kind of, you know, how it feels most of the time. But then, like, when Adam Sessler started following me and talking to me, it was just like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, because I knew the gravity of it in this scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even with Gail Simone, you know, I realize, yeah, and I'm fully cognizant of the fact that Gail Simone is a comic book writer. But mm-hmm. more than anything, she's just sort of my bud who retweets me occasionally. And, you know, who, you know, she told me she loved me last week. And I said, I told Gail I loved her, and it was beautiful, and she is awesome. And, you know, that's just sort of it, you know, my little positivity thing. You know, all these people are in my positivity circle, and, you know, nothing really just sort of penetrates that unless I let it. And I need to, like, think more, I think, about who these people are and what they're involved in. Or maybe I don't. Maybe things are fine the way they are.
Maybe they're fine the way they are. If you start to think of how important they are, then, you know, then you could kind of ruin things.
I got, you know, speaking of people following, I got followed by Vault Comics the other day. Uh-huh. And then I got followed by the CEO of Vault Comics, like, a creative exec, or he's like the top guy at Vault. But, you know, I just been thinking about messaging him, asking for a job. Here's my resume. Don't mind what I post on Twitter. Here's my resume. I just had a wonderful conversation right before we got on here with Rodney Barnes, and I think it's so cool that I know I can talk to some of my favorite writers and artists on my favorite books right now. It's really cool, and I think that's another great thing why I love indie books. You know, you typically don't have a huge name attached to indie books, and you know that the creators are more down to earth and they're more friendly toward their fan base. Like, I couldn't see myself just messaging Jeff Johns and getting a signed book sent to me, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What was it? Speaking of comic related stuff, I'm not going to tell anybody my dead name, but the few years ago I was writing for like a fairly big site as a writer, and one of the coolest moments writing for that, but now it's a little bit more muddled, was when, because he was the CEO at the time, Jeff Johns was retweeting like articles I wrote.
Ooh.
So that was like super cool, because it's like, wait, did the little CEO of DC Entertainment just quote tweet me on Twitter, or at least my article? That was crazy to me, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty dope.
And then I think one other time where it happened was Mark Hamill did it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my god, it's Mark Hamill.
That I have not achieved yet.
But that was not under my own Twitter. That was when they were retweeting from the actual Twitter account of the site that I was on. I will not speak of the site, but, you know, if you're a friend, you could DM me about it.
That still counts. It's something you were involved with. It's related to stuff you made. Totally right. Counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it was cool.
I read an interview with Mark Hamill in the Jack Kirby Collector, which is the name to sort of describes itself on, where he describes, like, he went up to Jack Kirby's house shortly after the Star Wars came out, and then they like talked to Jack about like how like Darth Vader was basically Doctor Doom. It's a really cool interview. It's available online.
Oh wow. No, I love hearing from Mark. Mark is awesome.
Yeah.
I got the chance to meet him once. He was pretty cool, actually. It was at Star Wars Celebration in 2015.
He's a pretty big comic fan. Like, he even did like a movie called Comic Book the Movie where he
Right. I actually love that movie. It's all voice actors.
Yeah.
Have any other than Ren, have any of you seen it? Aaron or Eva?
Nope.
No.
I have not.
It's pretty cool. It's a fun concept. It's like all filmed at San Diego Comic-Con, and they got all the voice actors that you know, like Tom Kenny and, you know, a whole bunch of names in voice acting you'll recognize immediately, but they all are in live, you know, playing not themselves, but characters in a faux documentary, like a mockumentary. And Mark Hamill plays a comic book store owner, and he is supposed to be the expert on this comic book movie that they're making for Hollywood, and it's all just mainly just at San Diego Comic-Con. So it's a great little, like, small film made at, like, the convention, but it just filled with all these people you know doing really funny things and making a lot of, like, really funny jokes and stuff. I'm sure it's a bit dated, but it was fun for the time, you know? You know, it obviously can tell it was made by people who just wanted to make something quickly while they were already at Comic-Con, you know? But yeah. It's fun regardless. It's a great companion piece to going to San Diego Comic-Con. I did that for my first one. I watched it, and I went there. The first time I went to San Diego. I guess it's kind of like how in Ted 2, there's this whole sequence in New York Comic-Con.
Oh. Like there was Patrick Warburton was in that scene, I think.
Yeah, and he was dressed as a tick.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was. And then the actor who was in Star Trek was dressed as a character from Star Trek, which was pretty funny. Ren, was there anything that new that you wanted to, since you're on our show, is there anything new that you wanted to, like, bring up or talk about specifically that we haven't addressed?
Well, mostly I was, like, looking at my bookshelf, and there were, like, a couple other things that I had read, but I don't know the name of the bring up, but, mostly I'm reading right now, I'm reading two things. I remembered Eva's interview about the War of the Worlds, so I bought The Massacre of Mankind, which is a sort of a sequel to War of the Worlds. So, here, let me turn on my camera, that way you can see it. Can you see it?
Oh, hey. Yeah, we can totally see it. Nice.
So it's a book by an author I've enjoyed for years, Stephen Baxter. He did a sequel to another Wells book called The Time Ships, which is a sequel to The Time Machine.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm reading that. Also, beginning Walt Simonson's Ragnarok, which is looked pretty cool. You know, it's him sort of doing Norse mythology outside the Marvel Thor paradigm, so pretty interesting.
That sounds pretty interesting. Those two sound really interesting.
Yeah. I'm also working on, I have like all these comic ideas in my head. I'm trying to write them down. I'm also trying to teach myself how to draw, like, about an artist board recently, and I've been hoping to use it at some point. I just haven't had the opportunity to. I'm teaching myself how to draw. I'm also writing up comic book ideas. I love to say some of them, but I've heard, like, if you say them, then you won't have the energy to do them later. That's heard at least.
Yeah, no, it sounds like, I guess with a creative perspective, you always got to keep thinking of new ideas, I've noticed, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm constantly coming up with new ideas in my head, but most of the time I miss them before I write them down.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'll have, like, a great idea, and then I, like, keep it down for, like, a while, and I just forget it. Oh, God, I had a great idea. What happened to it?
Or sometimes I have what I think is a great idea, and then I go back to it, like, 10 years later, and it's like, oh, my God, this was crap.
I have a lot of those.
Or, you know, it works the other way, too, though. You know, sometimes you go through, and you think, oh, wow, this is crap, and you go to it 10 years later, and you're like, oh, wow. Genius. Let's do this.
Right. I mean, that happens too. Yeah, I've heard of some of the best movies and shows and even comics or books happen because of an idea that's earlier on that doesn't work, gets reworked, and then finds its way to becoming a big thing. You know? Kind of like, I think that was like Stephen King wanted to do his version of, when he did the Dark Tower series, he wanted to do his version of Lord of the Rings, but like with his style and flair. And I think at first he didn't know how to like handle it. And so he was writing stuff down, but then he didn't really officially release it until like after he had already become a published author through like Carrie and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So that was, yeah, that was definitely, you know, I'm just going to say that whether you think you're artistic, you know, you are not the same person you are in a few years, you know. Your analysis of whether or not something is good or whether or not it's bad is going to change over time, you know. And yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about morality, more so if you're an artist, you know, your tastes are going to shift. Maybe an idea you had earlier on fits better in the era that you're in now, you know?
Yeah, I'm always like... Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I think one thing we learn as trans people is that sometimes our personal evaluations of things like the things we do and the way we look are wholly unreliable. So yeah. I think the better thing we can do is, you know, seek input from other people sometimes and, you know, hope it's good feedback.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's what our podcast has been great at, to be honest. We've been giving each other and just trans people an audience, an audience, you know, like we've been giving us a voice, doing our thing, making moves. You know, it's exciting.
Do I count?
Yes. Oh. Everyone counts.
We love you, Aaron.
Love you.
Yeah.
Burr, 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 burr.
Someone's celebrating over there. No.
I'm trans.
That's something to be excited about. You're not a dirty cis.
No, I'm not.
I'm just teasing. Come on.
I'm not cis. I'm not.
Yeah.
I said that with like a downer.
Well, I'm just kidding.
What I would give.
What, to rule the earth?
Oh, I already rule my portion of the earth. Guys, I'm getting really tired.
Just one final thought before we end. I've been doing a lot of these podcast interviews recently. I think I'm starting my own eventually.
You know what? When you do start your own podcast, let us know and we will shout you out. We will, you know, be like, hey, listen to this podcast. Do the thing. It's great. We will definitely throw all our support and all our love behind you, as always.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, of course.
I'm hoping to do maybe like a might do like a watch series about the Forgotten Aaron Sorkin show, the Studio 60.
Oh, interesting.
Where are we going?
It's a Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip. I'm thinking of like going through the whole series and then just providing commentary.
Oh, that's cool. Commentary is always fun.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. You have more of a, our show is a bit more obviously general about geeky stuff and obviously a lot about comics, but yours would be more specifically garnered toward, would your show just be more garnered toward that show? Like you would have that show idea and then like do that? Or is it more like...
I might start with that, and I might like go on to other shows afterwards, because it was only like 26 episodes, I think.
Oh, okay.
So eventually I'll have to move on to other stuff, probably.
Well, you know, I hope you can come up with a catchy title that works, that fits the show, whether or not it be just for the one thing or continually. And I hope that, when it does, please let us know. You know, We'll be so excited to hear about that.
I will. I will. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I will. Okay. I will do the thing.
You're part of the family, so you're part of the show.
We all follow each other on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't post much, but I do post.
Yeah, I follow you all, so people I really like, I often turn on alerts so that I get notifications when you guys post.
I stopped doing that for everybody. That got real annoying real quick.
Yeah.
So speaking of Twitter, Ren, where can we find you on Twitter? What's your handle?
Well, my Twitter handle is at Ren, R-E-N, underscore Chandler, C-H-A-N-D-R, D-L-E-R, 4. I was about to spell my actual last name there. Yeah, so you can find me at Ren Chandler 4. I mostly post comic stuff nowadays. I occasionally do TV shows, occasionally do movies, commentary. I post occasionally science or astronomy stuff if I'm up to it. I also do my blog reviews on at Confessions Cluttered Mind of Blogspot. I am currently rewatching The Venture Brothers. I'm going to be doing a rewatch of each of the seasons for the next 7 months, and sort of doing a review of each of them, exploring like how the show kind of evolves over a period of time. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, Ren, thank you for coming by, and I'm going to call that it. That's our show.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And now it's time for the credits. Gals of Geekdom is a nerdy podcast hosted by Aaron Summers, Crystal Williams, and me, the adorable Eva Webb. I also produce it. This week's guest was the incomparable Ren Chandler. Follow us on Twitter for our undying love and affection. And join us next time for another guest and more geeky fun. Love ya. Bye.